This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Has a British billionaire made the right play to net a stake in Manchester United? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. Okay, let's talk about the sale of one of sport's biggest brands. The board of the British soccer club Manchester United is meeting later on to consider a bid from the billionaire Sir Jim Ratcliffe to buy a 25% stake. It would also mean that the club's current owners, the New York-based Glazer family, can hold on to their majority stake. The BBC's Ollie Dalbert-Hansen told me the latest details in this long-running saga.
Over 11 months have now passed since the Glazers put Manchester United up for sale. It follows years of protests from fans that are unhappy with the club's level of debt, the decline of the team's success on the field, and a general lack of investment in the club and the stadium, which is Old Trafford. Now, there's been two bids on the table, one from a Qatari banker, Sheikh Jassim. That was for a complete takeover of the whole club. However, he failed to meet the Glazers' valuation of $7.2 billion, and he withdrew his offer last weekend. Now, that's left just one bid on the table with one of Britain's richest people, Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Now, unlike the Qatari offer, his bid is for a minority stake of just over 25% of the club, and that's for about $1.5 billion.
And for those of us who don't know, who is Sir Jim Ratcliffe?
Well, he owns the petrochemical company Ineos. He has a personal wealth reported to be over $18 billion. He's a lifelong Manchester United fan, and he's already heavily invested in other sports. He owns two other European soccer clubs, owns a professional cycling team, and he's involved in Formula One as well. And just to say, there are some details yet to be finalised, so ratification of the deal and an end to this divisive saga could still be weeks away.
The BBC's Ollie Dalbert-Hansen, thanks for joining us in Marketplace.
Thanks, Leanna.
Finnish telecoms giant Nokia is to axe between 9,000 and 14,000 jobs by the end of 2026 to cut costs. The announcement was made as the company reported a 20% drop in sales between July and September. Here's the BBC's Olivia Wilson.
Nokia was once the biggest handset manufacturer in the world. But with the rise in popularity of internet-enabled touchscreen phones, Apple and Samsung now dominate the market. So the company decided to sell its handset business to Microsoft and focus on telecoms equipment instead. In 2020, it looked like the telecom giant's luck was changing. Nokia became a major beneficiary of Huawei being blocked from the UK's 5G networks. But 5G equipment makers have struggled as operators in the US and EU reduce spending. Nokia's chief executive, Pekka Lundmark, says that despite ongoing uncertainty, the company expected to see an improvement in their network businesses this quarter. I'm Olivia Wilson for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Sales of the Paris-based drinks maker Pernod Ricard, which owns brands like Jameson and Absolut Vodka, fell 8%. It's blaming consumers reining in their spending. China's biggest private property developer, Country Garden, has missed its final deadline for a $15 million bond payment, putting it at risk of default. And on the markets, European and Asian stocks are broadly down. Europe's Stock 600 is down 0.8%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng is down more than 2%. British private schools are renowned around the world, with thousands of children coming from overseas to join those from the UK every year. But fees have risen sharply in the past decade, and they could go up even more. The BBC's James Graham reports.
The average cost of sending your child to a private school in the UK is around $18,000 a year. For that, you get small classes, better facilities, and a broader range of subjects. Yanis is 11 and recently moved from a state elementary school to a private one.
We did a lot more of art. We did STEM, which was a subject I was new to. We also did Latin in our year six.
He struggles with dyslexia, and his mum, Maria Halepi, says she felt she had no choice but to pay the $11,000 in annual fees.
When COVID happened, it turns out that he had massive gaps and the school wasn't doing anything really to catch him on. We're not into cars or anything or lavish holidays, but it was the best money we've ever spent for our son.
At the other end of the scale are the children of celebrities and the rich who go to elite private schools like Eton College.
Teachers at Eton simply go above and beyond. You know, the individual needs of each student are met.
But some people think it's unfair you can buy a better education, including Labour, the main opposition party in the UK. They want to undo a tax exemption private schools have enjoyed for decades. Professor Rebecca Bowden is an expert on private school finances and a Labour supporter.
So what we've got at the moment is an extremely uneven playing field with vast amounts of financial resources going into 7% of the population. And that's really economically inefficient.
The extra tax would raise around $2 billion for public education, but it might also add an extra 20% to school fees. One think tank estimates 3-7% of pupils might be forced to leave. Jane Lunnan, who runs Elaine's, a private school in London, says this won't affect the rich.
Parents who are working hard, really making sacrifices in order to invest in their children in this way. And they're the people who will get hit by this.
Ewan King, whose son is at a private elementary, agrees.
For us, it would probably push us over our ability to be able to afford his school fee.
For now, private schools get to keep their tax break. But if the opposition Labour Party wins the general election next year, the price of private education will almost certainly go up. I'm the BBC's James Graham for Marketplace.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report. Our producer today was Ollie Dalbert-Hansen. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks so much for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.